you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
St. Xavier University is for students who want more out of their future. We pride ourselves on preparing graduates with the skills they need to succeed in life. Visit xxu.edu to start plotting your path to a brighter tomorrow. St. Xavier University, the best in you.
Joining us on the Under Center podcast, we have Chris Sims, NFL analyst for us here at NBC Sports. Make sure you always check out Pro Football Talk and the Unbutton on Peacock TV and follow him at C Sims Quarterback. I mean QB when I say quarterback. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. Hope you're good. I like the set, like in your little brick cave over there. That looks cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Shout out to Tony and Claire.
I was just about to say, shout out to Tony and Claire. Yeah. Claire's filming right now. They put in all this work for our podcast studio here at NBC Sports Chicago. Appreciate you checking it out. Look, we got to talk Justin Fields. I know you've had a relationship with Chicago when it comes to Justin Fields, but we're going to come in on a lighter note. Just a week ago or a week and a half ago, you were breaking down his play versus the San Francisco 49ers, and you talked about him being a dual threat and how impressed you were with his throws and his spiral. What do you think, being a former quarterback yourself, about the inconsistencies with his passes the last couple of games?
Yeah, there's definitely some inconsistencies, you know, there's no doubt. And I think it goes a little bit into like all areas too, right? You know, again, I raised a lot of questions about Justin Fields coming out in the draft. Certainly, he's definitely thrown the ball, had better control and accuracy than I expected. Is it out of the woods yet, though, where I go, oh, wait, he's definitely a 68% thrower in the NFL and going to throw lasers all over the field and just dominate with his right arm? No, I'm not sold on that yet. And I think you guys watched the last two games. I don't know how you could be sold on that to a degree. Yesterday was, you know, there's twofold here. He's an incredible talent. He's tough. His ability to run is special. There's no doubt about it. I also think sometimes that ability to run affects his ability to look down the field and evaluate what's there to be had throwing the football. And I do see plays over the last 2 weeks where I go, oh, I'd like you to throw that ball there. He's open. Throw it. And he doesn't for whatever reason. And so that's a little concerning. And I think when I add that on to this little aspect of it that concerns me, I think when you like watching him on offense on film this morning against the Texans, where I felt like there was some receivers to be, then some plays to be had in the passing game down the field. And for whatever reason, he wasn't looking in the right direction or maybe looking at the rush. And then you make a few mistakes, and I feel like he kind of gets out of the trust tree as far as the coaching staff's concerned. And then they don't know, wait, we don't know what to expect from him. We don't know where the ball's going to go, and we don't know what kind of decision he's going to make. And then that makes them get scared, and they become simpler on offense. And, of course, some of those simple plays are simple for the defense, too, and that makes the offense not look very good in the pass game.
Chris, I want to get to something you just touched on, which is their trust in Justin. And I wonder, for this season's supposed to be all about his development. I know they want to win, but really the success of this season is he the franchise quarterback or not? And when you see them only throw four passes on third down, they didn't throw a pass in the red zone. What does that do for a young quarterback's confidence? And what does that tell you about how the Bears feel about him?
I think that it tells you that they don't totally trust him with some of these situations right now. You know, to throw the ball, what was it, in Green Bay on Sunday night 2 weeks ago? 11 times?
11 times,
That's inexplicable, right? It's ridiculous, all right, this day and age in the NFL. And I know they were trying to run the football and do that, but at the same time, they're doing their team an injustice by, you know, not opening it up a little bit that way. But I also just go, yeah, I think there's something there with Justin Fields that they're not totally comfortable with to just let him have free reign and throw the ball over the lot. And then you said it yesterday, you know, about yesterday. It certainly jumped out to me as I was watching the football game. So it's something to watch for. And I think, you come away as a quarterback you know, you got to be running off the field in some of those situations you just explained, where you just go, well, wait, what's going on? Maybe, did they not trust me to make the decisions here or make the throws, or what is it? And yesterday, I think it was a little bit of both. You know, he was not as accurate as we've seen him be throwing the football. And I think, like I said, there was some decisions and some things to see down the field that I'm sure had the coaching staff scratching their head a little bit about, like, wait, where's his brain? Where's his eyes today as far as the drop back passing game? And I think they didn't trust that, and they just continued to rely on the run game, and you know, for good reasons, that all worked out the right way to get the win.
Chris, what's the balance in that situation? Because for the team, right? You want the team to win. You don't want him to give turnovers, so you may not want him to throw, as you said, maybe they don't have trust. But when is it during this season you have to open it up to find out, one, who he is, or do you continue to protect him regardless and perhaps go into the offseason with questions because maybe the offensive line isn't as good. Maybe there's not as much talent. Maybe he's not developing as quickly as you expected him to.
Yeah, well, I think you can protect him and still continue to develop him and get him better in these areas that we want to see him get him better at the same time to a degree. But, you know, it can't be quite as conservative as we saw in Green Bay, that's for sure. I would like to, you know, they're a little simple on the offensive side of the ball. There's no question about that. I would like to see them use his running ability a little bit more, just as far as opening other things up in the offense too. I mean, gosh, he's built like a Greek god. We drafted him in Chicago, right? Because of the dual threat ability. I don't understand why there's not a few more Lamar Jackson-ish type of runs involved in the game plan that I think will also lead to easier looks in the pass game, to where Justin Fields will be able to capitalize off that. I mean, listen, I want to stick up for him and go, yeah, you heard me say, I don't know if it's the most creative offense in the world. He's a young quarterback who's learning another new system. And I think we all agree, or anybody that's paying attention to football, like, there's not weapons galore around him in the pass game either. So life's not necessarily easy. But I do think they got to, for the better of the team going forward, all right, and if they want to beat some of these teams that maybe they're not as good at, or the teams that we look at as a 50-50 battle, they're going to have to rely on his right arm a little bit. They're not going to always have Davis Mills to throw two bad interceptions and mess the game up that way. Or, you know, Aaron Rodgers messes up a fumble, a handoff exchange when they're up 24-10 and driving to put the game away to keep you in it. You know, so that's where, you know, I think there's got to be a little bit more of a pedal to the metal aspect, or a little bit more pressure applied by that offense through Justin Fields and the offensive coaches.
Chris, when you watch the film from the Texans game, so much this offseason has been made of Justin improving his footwork and his mechanics and his pocket presence. When we watched it, I didn't see that. I thought the footwork was pretty shoddy. I thought that's why he missed Kmet on the first pick. What have you seen from any improvements, or do you feel like, I feel like he's kind of regressing almost?
Well, yeah, he definitely made improvements, to your point. Yeah. There is. But yeah, yesterday, I mean, you know, one, I'm always about the quality of the ball, like even in the interception down the middle, to Kmet, like you're talking about, he just missed the throw. And you could see a flutter on the ball. It wasn't a great spiral that way. I do think overall the mechanics have improved and all that. But at the same time, I think he's learning too. And this is always hard for the quarterback that's super athletic, because their whole life they've been able to rely on, wait, if the first guy's not open, I can run and go get 10 or 12 yards, right? And that's cool. But in the NFL, it's just not going to be that way every week and week in and week out and play in and play out. So he's going to find the balance of like Lamar or Josh Allen or Mahomes. They have a knack and an ability to look down the field, take a peek at the pass rush, then look back up and then get back to what's going on down the field that way. And he can kind of assess the pass rush and if he should run off of that. Right now, I feel like there's too many plays where it's look downfield, look at the pass rush. Oh gosh, I'm stuck here. And the eyes don't come back up and you miss open receivers that way. And I think that's the thing that, you know, is a little concerning, but he has improved mechanics since college. We've seen that. It's definitely going in the right direction in that department. It's just about how good is it going to get? And that's, I guess, the thing that I still question as we go forward here.
I'm happy that you ended it right there. Speaking of the great quarterbacks that you mentioned in Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, what's the window? As you said, you're not sure how good he's going to get. What's the window on waiting for it? I'm a believer, but at some point you start to get concerned, and this front office didn't draft him. Neither did the head coach was he involved in drafting this player. But he's playing in a new system, and basically he had two systems last year when you look at what they were doing for Andy Dalton and what they tried to do when he became the starter. So how do you judge him fairly on, okay, at this point, we may not know if he's the quarterback and we have to start scouting?
Well, hopefully, I don't think you do that this year. You know, hopefully this year goes on, he continues to develop, gets more comfortable within the system, and then, you know, you get a better feel towards the end of the year with, hey, he's comfortable, and hey, we added these plays, and he got better at some of the concerns we're talking about, you know, in the past game. He's working the pocket the right way. He's making the appropriate reads and throws and all that. And then you can assess from there. But I don't think, like, the end of year two is like, oh, we close the window and start to panic, even if it doesn't look great. No, I don't think we go that way. Like we talked about, there's a lot of issues that we look at the Bears' offense and go, none of us expected it to be a top five, top 10 offense in the game. That's for sure. So I think we got to give it a little time here. But year three is the year I look at, right? We get into year three, and if you decide to have me on next year and we're in week five, and we're still talking about these, we're still talking about some of these issues, that's where you start to go, ooh, this is concerning. I don't know if he's going to break these habits. And not that you look to maybe get another starter, but you might look to go, we need to get a really good backup in here just in case things don't go the right way, right? We're not there yet. We shouldn't be thinking that yet, but I think that would be my overall thought on that question, you know, if you want my two cents on it.
Chris, you mentioned how kind of simple the Bears offense has been, and I know that you know Kyle Shanahan pretty well, and Luke Getsy's trying to run a similar wide zone scheme, and we saw in the preseason against the Browns a lot of bootlegs, a lot of naked, some tight end floods, and we have seen none of that. What do you think Luke Getsy can do to try to just get Justin more comfortable, more confident, as he's clearly shaken right now?
Yeah, well, I always look at the yesterday, you know, the boot game and all that is hard. People are expecting it from him, right? That's one of the things, like you said, it was in the preseason. Yesterday, he ran a few boots, and towards the end of the game, the Texans were all over it. Right. They were ready for it. Yep. You know, so that's something that people are always going to be looking for with Justin Fields. What I would like to see is a few more, you know, play action, protect it up, let's attack down the field. One thing I always think that, like, offensive coordinators and playmaker or play callers, you know, lose sight of is they go, well, let me find them easy completions, 5 yards over the middle. Sometimes those are the hardest ones, those short ones over the middle. It's tight windows. Somebody gets a hand on it, gets tipped, it ends up being intercepted. Where I'm a fan of is, like, let's protect it up a little bit. Let's let them throw some one-on-one shots down the field. Let's let them throw a one-on-one 20-yard comeback on the outside where it's clean, and, you know, you don't have to make the exact read and the exact right decision, and there's a little room for error in throwing the football there on that type of throw there. Those are the things I would like to see. Some screens to just get the confidence going to go, hey, look, you know, hey, I got a play action pass. Whoa, I'm 1-for-1. Ooh, I threw a screen to Darnell Mooney. I'm 2-for-2 for 45 yards, and, you know, I'm feeling good. Like I always say, like, Steph Curry needs a layup every now and then. He can't just be expected to come out and hit 35-footers and swish them all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they always do him justice that way to kind of get him going. So that would be the thing I would look at. But then I go back to guys too, like, you know, I want to see more diversity in his running attack. That's where I think things can be very make things easier for the offensive coordinator and the offensive coaching staff in general, because once he starts doing that, you're going to start to see defenses where they're going to go, excuse me, they're going to go, wow, we don't really want to play this.
Is Chris frozen for you guys?
We don't really want to see this defense versus this set, but we have to because we're worried about the quarterback run game, and now that, you know, sometimes goes into an easy look for the passing game. Those are a few things that at least jump out to me about Justin Fields.
Under Center Podcast with Chris Sims from Pro Football Talk. Chris, let me ask you this. Looking at the talent that's already in San Francisco around Trey Lance, looking at what the Jets brought around Zach Wilson, and also what the Jaguars brought in for Trevor Lawrence, how do you feel, or what's your opinion, rather, about the talent that the Bears provided Justin Fields by not bringing bringing in any extra players or players that were supreme on any other teams to assist him at skill positions? And would you have went about it the same way? And do you think that it's a positive way for them to be like, listen, we're not going to spend money this year. Let's wait till next year. And perhaps then we would hope then they would start to provide him with some star type of players. So perhaps he can have the type of growth that past quarterbacks have had.
I would hope so. You know, again, I think, you know, the overall plan is probably correct in the fact that, like, hey, let's let Ryan Poles get in here. Let's Eberflus, you know, evaluate the team, figure out what they need. You know, you guys are paying a lot of money, if I'm not mistaken, to guys that aren't even on the football team right now, right? Yep. So, you know, I think it's the right overall approach. But unfortunately, within that, yeah, it's a disservice to Justin Fields, as you talked about, compared to some of the other young quarterbacks. You know, life is not easy. You know, defense are not changing their game plan because they're going, oh no, Darnell Mooney's out here, we got to play double coverage on him, or we got to do this. So he doesn't have those type of advantages that certainly are going to make things look a little ugly at times. And that's like, I don't want that to be forgotten. You know, I know I'm looked at as like the Justin Fields hater at times, but I'm a realist and will certainly tell you, you know, when I'm wrong. And I've said that on my podcast here already a few times about Justin Fields. It's better than I expected, and it's looking like I might be wrong. But there's still some more evaluating to go on here, and they got to do, yeah, a better job of supporting him the right way so you can see all of that, what he has to offer, and he can take advantage of all the physical abilities he has to offer. Right now he can't because they just don't have enough things that stress the defense out with the rest of their offensive roster.
Chris, you just said that you think you might be wrong about Justin. I'm curious, with his early struggles, what do you want to see from him over the next 14 games to make it seem like that's still on track? Because I think for a lot of us, it seems like it's going the other way.
No, I know. It does feel like it's going the other way. I'm not going to be wrong. I mean, I'm not sure either. It doesn't feel good the last two games. No. It's certainly not. Right. You know, like I said, he's better than what I was expecting throwing the football. Yeah. Am I sold that he's going to be a high-level NFL thrower quite yet? No, I'm not. And what I want to see is more. The game, just like we talk about with everybody, I've yet to see the running, scrambling quarterback get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. Right. The game is still going to be about when you get in the playoffs or against better teams, they're going to have good defensive coaches, good defensive linemen, and you're going to have to make plays within the pocket, right? And that's to me is still the end game here. And that's where, to me, he's still got some work to do as far as feeling the pocket, moving in the right place, keeping your body in the right position, throwing positions, and then, you know, making, you know, not only great decisions, but great throws into tight windows consistently. And that's what I haven't seen. You know, again, you talk about the Josh Allens of the world, the Mahomes of the world, Lamar Jackson, right, who has a similar skill set to Justin Fields. Lamar Jackson could tear you up in the pocket all day long. He's showing everybody that, and he's really been capable of doing it the last few years. You know, they just finally are opening up the offense a little bit and have a system there. So that's what I want to see. Because it's not always going to be able to, oh, I'm going to make some magical play like I did against the 49ers in week one. You know, at some point, it's going to have to be about in the pocket, pushing the envelope, tight window, aggressive throws, and I don't see enough consistency in that. There's really only been one game in his career yet to where I go, the Pittsburgh game last year, that was the game where I went, oh, whoa, that was really damn good. But it's been too few and far between ever since.
Chris, the last time we talked to you, we didn't know the Bears were going to move up to get Justin. Did we make out, and it's a twofer, did we make out by not getting Kellen Mond that we were expecting perhaps they would have to draft in the second round last year? And also, before we let you get out of here, what about the play of the defense under new head coach Matt Eberflus? What's your opinion on how the defense has played in its first three games?
Well, I will say, like, you know, hey, you were good to draft Justin Fields. I think he's a special skill set, and certainly Kellen Mond, I'm wrong about that. He hasn't done anything to justify, you know, the Bears taking him over at Justin Fields or waiting to the second round. Hey, Fields has got some special things about his game. There's some elite traits about it. So now it's like, can they develop the rest of it to go along with it? And that's what we're talking about here. And like I said, it's not only him, it's some other things that go along with this that have to help him out, certainly to help him flourish and be the guy that, you know, we all hope he can be. So that's the big thing there. And Kellen Mond, you know, I don't know what the hell the deal was there. And I don't, there's a few things that make me question. Maybe is it the person a little bit? I don't know really what. He didn't play all that bad to me in the preseason, but obviously there was something in Minnesota that they didn't trust. But he's not in the class of Justin Fields. So I was wrong there. Now the defense and getting into that conversation, though, it's the one thing I like about the Bears right now. Eberflus, you guys are very sound on both sides of the football, right? They're never out of position, not letting up a whole lot of big plays. You know, there's not a lot of stars and playmakers, but man, Roquan Smith, Jaquan Brisker at safety looks damn good. Eddie Jackson's found his form. I think that's the one thing, like, you know, I don't know if I expect you guys to be in the playoffs, but you're not going to beat yourselves a whole lot. I think that's the positive things, and I know that could be a little frustrating, and it'll probably lead to some ugly losses when it's all said and done, but I certainly don't look at, like, I like what Matt Eberflus is doing, and I like pretty much the overall game plan or thoughts of the team overall for what you got on the roster right now.
All right, my last question for Chris is, Justin Fields has completed 23 passes this season, 14 quarterbacks yesterday completed that in a game. What's your overall concern level right now as we sit going into week four?
I think it's just what we're talking about. It's got to open up. Yeah. And to be like that too, it obviously has to be also something with Justin Fields where they don't feel comfortable to open it up. So that's what I'm going to be looking at going forward. And again, I don't know the answers to some of these questions, but I'm a guy that watches all this football every week, and I watch film, and anybody listens to my Wednesday podcast, I break down games in depth and really go in, you know, to the weeds as far as, you know, what's going on in the game. And yeah, that to me is the concerning thing. Opening up, and then my experience watching film, being around the NFL, the without them saying it, the film is telling me that they don't totally trust him to open it up. And that's I think, the scary part right now. And we'll see where that goes. And maybe, you know, he gets in that trust tree, as I like to joke around and say, to where they feel comfortable about throwing it 30 times a game with Justin Fields.
Chris, I appreciate your honesty. My last question would be your expectations or your prediction for this upcoming game against the Giants. And what does a good season for the Bears look like, in your opinion?
Well, the Giants game will be ugly, I'm sure, because the Giants have their own offensive struggles, and they certainly are not special that way either. It's going to be, you know, I would imagine it's going to be a 20-17, 17-14 type football game. I think that's where the Bears and the Giants live right now, certainly. So that's the kind of game I see it being altogether there. What was the other part of the question you asked there?
What does a good season look like for you?
Right?
Yeah,
the Bears, I don't know. I came into the year going, and I don't know if I've changed a whole lot. I'm first off, 2-1 is a positive. No one expected them to beat the 49ers in week one. I think the weather was really beneficial to the Bears more than the 49ers, and that helped them out. But I look at it and go, man, if they went 7-10, I look at that as like, whoa, that's a positive. That's a good thing. I mean, you know, again, I don't think this roster is jumping out to anybody across the league and going, whoa, the Bears, this roster, they should be 12-5 this year, 14-3. Nobody's saying that. This is a team that's in rebuild mode, and they're kind of figuring out their new way and their new style of play with the new regime here and the coaching staff. So I don't think the expectations should be real high. 7-10, you know, 8-9 would be unbelievable. 9-8 would be absolutely unbelievable. You know, even 6-11, I don't look at as being that bad, but I think it's right in that ballpark, guys.
Chris, we appreciate it, everyone. Make sure you follow him at CSimsQB. Also, watch him on Peacock TV on Unbuttoned and, of course, Pro Football Talk. Chris, have a great day. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Be good. Have a good week.
You too.